welcome to episode 6 of Tea in the Treetops podcast. I'm Angela and this is Philippa.
Hi.
And this is the official podcast of the Tea in the Treetops book review blog. Today it is Wednesday, the 14th of May, 2014. And we've got lots of interesting stuff to talk about today. We're going to tell you all about a giveaway that we're having on the blog and the podcast this week. And we're going to talk about some of the books that we've read and that we're going to read. And we're going to have a chat about a little bit about young adult literature as well. So let's get stuck in, shall we? So the giveaway we've got running until the 28th of May, which is 2 weeks from today, but it'll be just before our next podcast probably, so we'll be able to announce the winner then. But you're going to have $20 to spend at Book Depository. So make sure you go onto this post from this podcast and have a look for the Rafflecopter entry form and you'll be able to enter there. And there'll be a couple of extra entries for spreading the word. And also, if you've got any questions for us to answer on the book on the podcast, we might give a couple of extra entries for that too. So check it out. It'll be on the blog on this post from the podcast. So that's exciting. So shall we have a chat about what we've been reading?
Sounds good.
How about you? What have you been reading?
Okay, so I think I mentioned last podcast that I just started reading, or I might have just been about to finish reading The Murder Complex, which is coming out in a month, basically, on the 10th of June. Yeah. It was very gritty read. Actually, it's probably one that will go well with our discussion topic for later on in this podcast, mm-hmm. about the darkness of YA literature. I definitely say that this is a fairly dark, gruesome book to read, and interesting. Yes, but I've got a review to write on that one that will be coming out shortly. So, yes, I'd be interested to see what other bloggers think of it as well. I also have read, I started reading and I've decided not to finish another book called Side Effects May Vary, mm-hmm. Which was released by Balzer and Bray in the US or Penguin Tea in Australia here in Australia. It's a really tough book. I found it very negative. I found it very difficult to read. I kept putting it off because I just found everything about the book really disheartening. There was nothing, there was no hope, there was nothing positive about it. The characters were horrible.
Maddie agrees.
Maddie does agree. It's one of those books that's been really dividing. Like, people seem to either really like it or they really dislike it. Unfortunately for me, I just couldn't get into it. So that one was a do not finish book.
Yep.
So the only other book I've read is Gone Girl, which was our book club read. So not really a young adult book, more of adult literature, but oh my goodness, that book was crazy. I don't know really what else to say about it. It was just completely twisting and turning. Every time you thought you had a handle on what was going on, something else happened. And even right at the end, it was just like, whoa. It was very, very good book, though. I really enjoyed it. I very much enjoyed it. So, yes, anyone looking for something maybe a little bit not young adult, but likes the idea of a psychological thriller, then definitely one that I would recommend.
Mm-hmm.
Natasha's got a review of that book too on our blog. So,
yep.
We both I think gave it 4 stars. So,
sure.
Similar okay. ideas. Yeah. So what have you been reading?
Well, I just finished. Well, a few days ago now, and I posted up a review of The Girl with All the Gifts, which I was talking about last time, as well, by Emma Carey. It was a zombie apocalypse book in the end, because I wasn't sure what it was about last time.
That's right, I remember you.
Yeah,
you read the synopsis out.
That's right, and I wasn't sure what it was actually about, but it is about zombies and they're in futuristic UK,
mm-hmm.
And basically the little girl in it is a hungry. They're called Hungries, the zombies, and. And so they're doing tests on these kids who don't behave like normal zombies. They're like more human. Okay. So they're trying to work. The humans are trying to work out why they're actually more human than zombie.
Okay.
And the reason that everyone's turned into a zombie is because they're infected with a fungus. So I don't know if you've heard of the ants. That there's a fungus that infects ants, and like basically infiltrates their nervous system and makes them do things. So basically they turn into zombie ants. I don't know if
there was, I haven't heard of that. It was doing a news article.
It's real, yeah, it's real.
Zombie ants.
I'm not sure where it is, but I read there was a thing doing Facebook rounds a few months ago about it, and everyone's like, oh my god, zombies, but it can't affect humans. But in this book
it has affected humans.
So this is maybe what might happen. But anyway, I'm not usually a fan of, I mean, I say this in my review, that not normally a fan of zombie books, because I just don't like the idea of, you know, people that you know turning into some horrible flesh-eating monsters. But anyway.
So you haven't watched The Walking
but,
Dead.
No, I don't watch The Walking Dead, partially for that reason. But I actually quite enjoyed this book. It was really interesting, the way that they treat the kids. And a bunch of people have to actually travel cross-country to try and get to one of the safe cities and deal with real zombies on the way and everything. So it's scary. Apparently there's a movie script being written for it, so it's going to be a pretty terrifying movie, but anyway, we'll see.
Is that classified as young adult, that one, or is it just a sci-fi fantasy?
Yeah, okay. I think it's just a, I don't know what you'd classify it as, just
sounds a bit
addiction.
Like World War Z, a little bit. I don't know
if you've
seen
the
movie.
No, I didn't actually read it or see it. Yeah, so that one's up on the blog if you want to read my review. At the moment, you might be interested in the one I'm reading at the moment, Billy. It's called Dark Eden by Chris Beckett. And it's about a group of people called Family who are who live on this world in away from any stars. So it's like a, what do you call it? I can't remember what they're called. Like a lone planet, basically. An exoplanet outside of the solar system. So there's no sun. So there's just, on this planet, there's warmth that comes from inside the planet and it comes out through trees. So the trees are warm and they give light. And the reason that there are people there, like humans there, is because a spaceship crashed there from Earth. The ship was damaged. They couldn't leave again. Or they made repairs, but two people decided to stay behind while the others went back and tried to get back to Earth. So those two people, there was a guy and a girl. So they had kids and started this new
planet,
this civilization. So everyone in this group, there's now, it's been like 150 years or something, and there's about 400 people, I think, and they're all descended from the same two people.
So this is a take on Adam and Eve, sci-fi take. Okay.
So they've started displaying the genetic kind of congenital problems like club feet and cleft palate and all those kind of weird things, and also intellectual disabilities and things that congenital diseases come out if you do inbreeding, basically. So everyone's related to each other. So yeah, the premise of it is that they've always done things the one way. Their religion is basically to wait in one place for Earth to come and get them. So they're like several generations on now. So it's basically all of their rituals and everything is based on waiting for Earth to come. And they've got all these stories, like the story of how Hitler killed Jesus and everything because he was against the Jews. And the stories are getting garbled, like from generation to generation. It's very interesting. So I thought you might be interested from an
anthropological
point of view.
Well, I was going to say that actually is a bit interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the story itself, it's a bit slow. Like, things do happen, but I don't know, the characters, I'm not really liking the characters that much because they're all a bit sort of, I don't know, it's hard to describe, but I will write a review about this, so I'll think a bit more about how I want to describe it. But I'm nearly finished it and it's getting pretty good at the end, but the premise is pretty amazing, so worth a read.
Oh, that is interesting.
It actually came out last year in the UK and they're just releasing it in other countries. I think it was released this month. I don't know.
Okay, I might have to get my hands on that one. Yeah. That does sound interesting. Just from I won't bore anybody with too much anthropology, but considering that pretty much every culture around the world has some form of innate law not to inbreed.
Yeah, so, well, that's the funny thing. That's part of the reason that the kids start to think about why are we doing this, why are we staying in one place, because originally there were laws that were set down at the beginning saying that you must not sleep with your sisters or brothers and don't do it with anyone who doesn't want to. And all this, there's these laws.
Yeah.
But then at the beginning. They had to because there was no one else.
There was no one else unless they slept with their mother or father.
Yeah, well, that happened too. Like, it was just, obviously, it's a bit wrong in today's standards, but if you think about it, if you're in a situation where there's no one else to breed with, then what are you going to do? So, anyway, it's interesting from that point of view.
You can read all about the theory of mitochondrial Eve. We're all based on the same female. Sorry, yes, that's again back to human evolution.
I did do it, I think, in biology a long time ago, but I don't know much about it now. Anyway, okay, so next I have a copy of North Star Guide Me Home by Jo Spurrier, who is an Australian author. Winter Be My Shield is the first one. And I have, they've been coming out a year at a time, and I got a copy of North Star Guide Me Home. It's only just come out this month, and I'm really looking forward to reading it because the first two I really enjoyed. It's set now, how do I describe this? It's almost like a Game of Thrones style, different cultures, or you know, different places around this world interacting with each other. There's a lot of evil magicians and a lot of bad, like, you know, torture and pain, and it's pretty horrible. The story, they're all nasty to each other.
So it's an adult.
It is definitely adult, yes. Fantasy. Yes. It's like a, it's almost like a psychological thing because people are, you know, manipulating each other, and it's awesome. So yeah, it's pretty a difficult book to read in some ways because the characters have so much horrible things happen to them. But I am looking forward to seeing how it all ties up together in the end. I can't actually remember a lot about the second book, so I think I'm going to have to go back and have a bit of a read before I start. But
yep.
I remember that at the end of it, I was like, oh my God, I must find out what happens next. So so that'll be next.
That's the problem with being on top of series, because you've got that big weight between.
Yeah,
you've
got to wait,
I don't know. I think any book series or TV show for that matter, when you can binge on it, if you're liking it, it's just so much more.
Yeah, you can read them one after the other.
Yeah, there's something really enjoyable about it. Anyway.
So have you got something lined up next?
Yes, okay. So I've got a couple of books. I've been doing a lot of reading recently, I feel. So I didn't have this one for review. I somehow missed this one on NetGalley, but it really appealed to me, and that's The 57 Lives of Alex Wayfair by M.G. Bjerlin, I'm assuming is how you pronounce the author's surname. Basically, it's like a historical, it's not a time travel book, it's more a historical, she's going through all of the different past lives and things like that, which I don't know, I thought sounded quite interesting to me.
Yeah.
So looking forward to reading that one. That one was released in March by Strange Chemistry. And I've also just been approved for Take Me On by Katie McGarry, which is part of the Pushing the Limits series. And again, I'm not normally a contemporary YA reader.
Yeah.
I'm not really a contemporary reader anymore at all, but this series I've really enjoyed, so looking forward to getting my hands dirty with that one.
Is that the last book, or
I don't know, I really thought at first it was going to be a trilogy, so I was a bit surprised to find out that this one was coming out. And to be honest, the way she's done it, which is basically she takes a secondary character from some of the other books, and then that character becomes the main character in the subsequent book. Yeah. So they're loosely based on one another, but they can all be read as standalones as well.
So theoretically, she could just
keep going. She could just keep going, that's right. Okay. That's exactly right. So I don't know if this will end up being the last one or not, but yeah, I've really liked the entire series so far. So I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, but
yep.
Yeah, for a contemporary, I definitely would recommend it. So, yeah, they're the two books that I'm planning on getting my hands dirty with.
Sounds good.
Hmm.
Well, speaking of contemporary young adults, maybe we should move into having a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
We realise this is an old article now, but it just came up again around the Twitter, that in the Wall Street Journal and another one in The Guardian, there was a couple of articles about whether teen fiction was getting too dark because of books like Fault in Our Stars and that sort of thing, dealing with death and other issues like
incest, self-harm, beating,
yeah, violence, rape, whatever. And so we thought we'd just, I mean, we'll link the articles in the show notes so you can have a read yourself. But yeah, we thought that it'd be worth having a chat about that because I don't read contemporary YA much, but I have noticed there's definitely a trend in the fantasy young adult books of a lot of violence. Like, it's not necessarily, there's not a lot of sexual abuse and that kind of thing in them usually.
It's not Game of Thrones.
In fact, there's not even, no, well, there's not even any sex in them at all, usually. Yeah. But there is a lot of very grisly deaths going on. And I remember when I first read Game of Thrones, I was, not Game of Thrones, that's definitely not YA. Hunger Games.
Yep.
I was horrified by how this could be classified as young adult.
Yep.
What do you think?
Well, first of all, I just wanted to mention that for anyone that's been in the sort of Twitterverse for the last 2-3 years with YA, these were the articles that spurred the YA Saves hashtag, which got huge responses. So I'm not too sure if there's been a resurgence with that, seeing this has also been brought back up. But yeah, just in case anybody was part of that. I read the original Wall Street Journal article and I found it incredibly negative. I also feel that they went out of their way to find the most horrible books, horrible books is the wrong way of putting it. They found the most extreme books in the YA genre to argue their case. I would say that the majority of YA is actually not, I'm not saying it doesn't deal with some difficult topics, but I think what a lot of people like about young adult literature is that there's generally hope. It's generally quite a hopeful.
Yeah.
It's generally always got hope and happy endings, and you know, I don't know. There's always a feeling of redemption or being able to change things for the better, and that's what I really like about the genre personally. Yeah.
In that Guardian article, they do say that it offers young people, if it deals with issues that they might have in their lives, it helps them to, or anyone who reads it, in fact, to deal with that, those kind of happenings in their own life.
That's right. So I think the other thing to point out is that the article, the original article from the Wall Street Journal, talks about, you know, a mother going into a bookstore and looking at the YA shelves and going, I wouldn't pick up any of these books for my 13-year-old. These are completely inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while I don't have a teenager, I don't know. I find that very subjective. And I just think, you know, once upon a time when I was a teenager, there was no such thing as young adult.
Yep.
There was middle grade and that was considered children's,
yeah.
Or you read adult books. I think having a young adult category is great because you can still explore those sorts of difficult topics without actually having to touch on more adult versions of it. If you go to reading adult, which is what I did, I read adult books from about 13.
But the thing is, I find that adult books have the same things in it. Like if you have a YA book that has, say, like some abuse of some sort, or just you know, strong violence or whatever. Adult books have that anyway. Like
that's exactly right.
The difference, really, except that YA books tend to have young protagonists, or that's the only difference.
There's young protagonists, and also I feel that there are some limitations. Like, it's very rare to find consensual sex scenes in a YA book. There are some, and they're highly glossed over. You wouldn't get that in an adult book. They don't have that same sort of limitations. I'm sure publishers would be able to I'm sure all publishers have a set of requirements that they have to make sure it fulfills, because, you know, and I'm positive things like sex are one of them. So I don't know. I think you're definitely screening teenagers a little bit more than lending them. And it's obviously a widely popular, you know, it's a hugely popular money-making industry, YA. Definitely. So it's obviously ticking the boxes.
Yeah. And it's been compartmentalised, you know, like people say, I'm a young person, therefore I should read young adults, whereas before there was no, you had to actually just go to the adult section and work out which ones you wanted to read.
So. That's right. Or which is fine. Sift through children's books for the middle grade.
Exactly,
books.
Yeah.
And do you know what? If you have a problem with YA if you're a teenager, there are some great middle grade series that, you know, will tick the right buttons too. Like, I'm sorry, Harry Potter, the last few books of that is still, you could almost argue that's really YA, those last few books.
Yeah, there are some pretty dark things.
That's right. And Percy Jackson, those books, that's great for a younger teen. I mean, I read them and I'm 30 plus. So, so you know, you don't have to feel that you have to read YA, or as a parent, you don't have to feel if you don't like the YA genre that it's the only avenue for your kids.
Yep.
Yeah. But, yeah, I will say, I know when I was 14, I was reading Flowers in the Attic, and that's definitely a lot more disturbing than any YA books I've read recently.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure at my school library would have had all sorts of
Definitely. Adult
books in there, but I don't know.
Definitely, that's how I got into fantasy. And they were all adult fantasy books. Yeah, anyway, part of me thinks this is just older adults just forgetting what life can be like.
Yeah.
For a younger generation.
And it's great that the young adult ones do deal with younger people in them, so people can identify a bit better with them and the things they're going through.
Definitely.
All right.
I think we can say that we disagree heartily with the original Wall Street Journal articles.
Yeah, yeah. And we like the sound of the Guardian one.
Yeah, that's right.
Tell us what you think. Please do. Comment on the blog and tell us what you think. Is it YA too dark for you, or what do you think? All right, now that we've done our discussioning, we need to mention that in a couple of weeks' time, the Book Expo of America is on in New York. And since we're here in Australia and we have little kids, then there's like no chance in hell of us ever going to it.
You know, I had lined up before I found out I was pregnant with Maddie. I was going to go last year, but then I was going to have a couple of day old baby, so that was kind of off the books, which is a bit devastating. Maybe in a couple more years when I don't have young toddlers.
Maybe we can go on a road trip to America, to New York, and go to the
girls' trip. Yeah, start saving. Mark owes me a girls' trip. So.
Oh yeah, he does. Right, well. Anyway,
the only girls on the planet that would probably choose to go to a book expo.
No way. Hey, there's plenty more to do in New York than just a book.
That's right.
That would just be happening at the same time.
Definitely.
Except we would have to like hire extra bags to bring home all the books that you get when you go there.
We would have to organise some sort of shipping thing or an extra suitcase. We would work it out. We would make sure we worked it out.
Definitely, sure. Anyway, it's on in a couple of weeks. So, but in the blogging world, for those who can't go to the actual expo, there's Armchair BEA, which you can read all about it at armchairbea.com. It runs from the 26th to the 30th of May, and you sign up for it, and each day there's different topics that you can write about on your blog, and you can join in with giveaways and lots of different discussion topics, and there's Twitter parties that go on, and it's all lots of things going on.
Great. That's networking.
Yeah, so we're going to take part in that, and in a couple of weeks' time, hopefully we'll have another podcast recorded then, and we'll see what's going on the actual week of Armchair BEA. So I think at first, the first thing you do is introduce yourself, so that'll be the first day, and then there's different topics each other day. Mm-hmm. So go and have a look at armchairbea.com and sign up if you are into that with your blog. And the other thing that's on this week is Bout of Books, which is a big readathon, which there are like over 1,000 people signed up for this time.
Wow.
Unfortunately, I only found out about it today, and it's actually too late to sign up for it. But usually they do it every few months, so I'll have to keep an eye out for the next one. But hello, all you people doing Bout of Books, and I hope you're all having a great reading week. I usually find when I sign up for the readathons, I actually read less than I normally do.
That's funny, because I was about to say the same thing. I feel all this pressure, and I think because of the pressure, I actually push against it, and I do less.
Well, I usually find that I sign up for, get all excited and list all these books that I'm going to read, and then it ends up being a really busy week, and I never get to read any of them.
Sick children. Yeah, something busy goes on. Week or, that's right.
Anyway, so I will be reading this week, but I won't be reading it. Bout of Books. But we'll keep an eye out for the next one. Okay, so This week on Tea in the Treetops, I'm just going to mention we've got quite a few reviews up there now since we've been getting back into it a little bit with everyone writing reviews too. Well, mainly Philly. we've got reviews for After the End, A Creature of Moonlight, which I talked about last week, that is up there now, and Side Effects May Vary, which is the Did Not Finish one, The Girl with All the Gifts, which is the zombie one. We can classify all these books with one word classifications. We've got a couple of different top tens since the last podcast, Top Ten Tuesday, which this week's was books that we almost put down, but we didn't put down.
Yep. And there was also the framing, the book covers we frame as pieces of art.
Oh, yeah, book covers that we'd like to frame as pieces of art.
I think I found some gorgeous covers, I'll just say.
They were. I really like that castle one. I would love to picture that on my wall.
So did I.
Or maybe on Evie's wall.
That was a Pinterest find, that one.
Oh, I love Pinterest for things like that.
I do too. Yes.
Except my Pinterest at the moment is mostly full up with Doctor Who. Sorry. Sorry, people who follow me on Pinterest. Anyway. So, lots of stuff going on the blog, so go and check it out. So is there anything else you wanted to mention?
No, I think that's it. Don't think there are any more movie adaptations or anything.
Not coming up, really. When's Fault in Our Stars out, is it?
That's coming out in a couple of weeks. So it'll probably be not next podcast, the podcast after. So I do know that Penguin Teen Australia are doing a Fault in Our Stars movie marathon, where I think Felicity is planning on trying to see Fault in Our Stars in every major city in Australia within a 48-hour window.
Oh, my God.
Sounds exhausting.
I think we're paying for that.
I'm assuming yes. I think that any Brizzy bloggers that are interested can go and watch Fault in Our Stars with Felicity. I think that's on the 8th of June that she's doing it in Brisbane.
Okay.
I'm preparing myself. I'm going to go see it. I'm expecting a lot of tears from the early reviews. I've heard it's been brilliantly done, but there's not just silent sobbing in the back of the cinema. It's really grotty, snotty sobbing. So I don't like doing that sort of thing in public.
Ugly crying.
Ugly crying in public is not my forte. So I'm starting to psych myself up for it.
Yeah, just bring your sunglasses, say, afterwards.
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely. Awesome. At night time, put the sunglasses on.
Yep. I don't think I'll go and see that.
That's all right. Tash from the blog is coming with me, as well as one of our other friends that has read the book. We're all ready. We're going to be each bringing big boxes of tissues.
Yeah.
We will report.
Okay. Okay, so I think that's all we wanted to mention this time. If you want to get in touch with us, please send us comments or feedback or anything you like. You can email us on contact@teainthetreetops.com or you can Twitter us on @teatreetops. And you can also see all our other reviews and all our posty booky stuff at teainthetreetops.com. We hope you have a very lovely week. And we'll see you next time.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Yeah, we can cut this out in a minute. Yeah, I
figured we were cutting this out. I needed to actually think about what I was going to say before I said it.
Yeah, it was good. Oh, God, Madeline. Sorry, you're going to have to edit that out too. You find the one thing that you can't have, something tiny.
The first book, which is now lost in my brain.
You can cut this out.
Cut this out.